bomb from point blank range.
You can put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Getting hour two underway on this Monday, September 26th, as we continue along and welcome you to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and the Hot Stove Lounge with Aaron Vickers of Daily Hive. It's Steinberg with us, with us as well. Steinberg with you on this Monday, speaking poorly his entire life. And now in the third person, available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. What a donkey. Some good news on this Monday. Let's just transition right to talking about the Flames, because that's better than me making a fool of myself. Andrew Mangiapane, back on the ice for the Flames and with his teammates for the first time in training camp. He missed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as he sustained a minor injury during the offseason doing summer training. So back on the ice with the Flames today, was part of the second training camp group, and funny enough, skating with Nazem Kadri and Matthew Phillips. More on that in a few minutes, but Nazem Kadri was his center, just like everyone expected he would be. Kadri and Mangiapane, my friend, I love the idea of that combination. Like, I honestly... this will sound cheesy, so I'm going to say it anyway. But like, I honestly think that those two players were made to play with one another. I really do, because I think that they complement one another perfectly. They're both feisty. They're both tenacious. They are both hardworking. They are both responsible and very strong defensively. They're smart. They are good offensively. They have lots of offensive upside, as they both showed last year, having career years. And they will get under the skin of opposing teams just by being who they are and the type of player that they are, because there is no off switch. They're not afraid to get into it. They're not afraid to mix it up. I think that they are perfect matches for one another. Give me those two as a forward duo all year long. I honestly think they're a match made in heaven as a pair on the ice.
Hockey player equivalent of soulmates? You willing to go there?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. You know, it's like, oh, you were made for me. That's what I think Kadri and Mangiapane are going to be.
Boop.
I could see it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They play similar styles. They're gritty. They're in your face. They're, for lack of a better term, annoying to play against. They can back it up physically. I would say Nazem Kadri probably has a slight edge if those two were to go head-to-head. Andrew Mangiapane is not about to back down from anyone, as we've seen in every single post-whistle scrum last season and perhaps the year before. And they both can finish. We're talking about two guys that are point-per-game players, or have the potential to be point-per-game players, and now they're anchoring what will be Calgary's second line, if you're into naming line one, line two, line three, line four. I'm very curious to see. We talked a lot about chemistry between Huberto, Lindholm, Toffoli. I'm very interested to see how well on the ice Mangiapane and Kadri blend together with whoever is the third to complete the trio.
63 goals between those two guys last year, by the way. 28 from Kadri, 35 from Mangiapane. So I did that math. You take 30 plus 35 is 65, and then minus 2 gets you 63.
That's you did that with your shoes and socks on.
Yep, no, I didn't even need to use my toes on that one. Let's hear from Andrew. First day on the ice. He missed the first 4 days of training camp. Spent his entire practice on a line with Nazem Kadri, and Mangiapane talked about getting on the ice and playing with Kadri after this Monday practice.
How did it feel out there today?
Good. Felt good to get out there with the rest of the guys there. Obviously, I've been kind of, you know, rehabbing some injuries that kind of happened in the summer there, but it was nothing serious, and just felt good. Like I said, just get out there and get moving again, and you know, play hockey.
Are the injuries behind you, or is it something that's going to take some management here?
Mostly behind. I think now it's just kind of, you know, getting the rust off, getting back up to game speed, getting that practice work in, and hopefully get into some exhibition games later on there.
Have you spoken to Daryl at all amidst all the season change that have happened about what your role could be for this year?
Nothing like that. I think I'm planning just to play the same way that I have been. That's my kind of mentality kind of going into this camp, is keep growing as a player and as an individual, and just help out the team wherever I can.
A lot of people think you'll be playing with Kadri a lot. You got to skate on the line with him today. What were your first thoughts about him on the ice?
Yeah, no, obviously he's a great player, right? We skated a little bit together as well this summer, both being from the kind of the Toronto area there, right? So obviously, yeah, he's skilled. He's a winner. So it's exciting times, and see what happens, right? But obviously he brings a lot of experience and, you know, very skilled player, so... Again, don't know what's going to happen there with the lines and everything like that, but yeah, he's a good player.
You know, a lot of people on the outside have been like, oof, Mangiapane and Kadri would be a really good fit together. Can you see why you two would work really well together, even in your limited time together?
Yeah, I think you know, he could work well with a lot of guys on our team, right? I think he's that type of player that, you know, when you play with him, he makes other people around him better, right? So. Again, it's, you don't want to kind of read too much into it and everything like that. But, yeah, he's a good player and happy that he's on our team now.
You played against him a lot. What kind of qualities does he bring out in the opposition? He can be a little bit agitating, but he can also back it up.
Yeah, he obviously plays with that grit and, you know, we'll get in there, kind of muck it up. And he's not afraid to get in there and, you know, cause havoc. But he's also a skilled player, score goals, and he's smart away from the puck. So he's kind of the whole package there, and again, it's good that, you know, we were able to sign him.
You signed after the trades were made. What sort of the impact did, you know, if they hadn't made that trade, bringing in two great players like they did from Florida, that could have maybe impacted your decision to sign here?
Yes and no. I think my plan was always to kind of re-sign here. Obviously, they had to deal with Johnny and Chucky there and had to go through all that, and I was kind of secondary to that, but yeah, I think my plan though was always to stay in Calgary and play here and try to help the team win.
What's that like for you to go through though as a restricted free agent, seeing all the, for lack of a better term, drama unfold right before your eyes?
Yeah, it's interesting to say the least, right? You're just kind of sitting there, and I'm finding out when you guys are kind of finding out, and finding out kind of all the drama and what's kind of going on. You know, I'm just waiting in the weeds, just kind of like everybody else, right? So I didn't know any inside scoop or anything, and I heard the kind of news drop, and it was just shocking and interesting, but it was good that we were able to get some players back there with that trade as well.
How does it feel to know about that stuff pretty much when we hear about it? Considering that you're teammates, wouldn't it make more sense to know about it a little bit before?
Maybe, but yeah, it is what it is, right? Can't do much about that, and, you know, those things happen. It's part of the game. Obviously, you wish those guys well, and, you know, they are friends over the years. You build friendships and relationships and all that. But it is a job, and now you just kind of got to move on, and we got to grow as a team and kind of get past that.
It's funny how things happen, because I don't think the irony is lost on you. If Johnny Gaudreau is still here and Matthew Tkachuk is still here, there's a damn good chance they don't have any money left for you. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yeah. Again, you don't really kind of know it's going to happen in the offseason, but that definitely is a possibility there. If those guys kind of stayed, and maybe I wouldn't be here, right? Maybe they'd have to create, I don't know, space and everything like that. But again, happy to be here and happy to be a part of this team. And, you know, hopefully we can do good things this year.
There's Andrew Mangiapane as he spoke this Monday following his first practice with the team. So he is out there, good to go. I'm sure he'll start getting into preseason games as we go along here. But we weren't expecting this. Brad Treliving said last week that this was a minor thing. I was told, like, expect him very early on in camp. And here he is. After missing 4 days, he's on the ice. He did all the drills, full participants. So looks like, and he was even asked about, does he have to manage the injury? It looks like he's going to be good to go 100%. So that's good news. And I think that this Kadri thing is going to be something that we see for the rest, for a good chunk of the camp. So far, all we have seen is Huberdeau with Toffoli and with Lindholm, and it makes sense. Same thing, Backlund, Dubé, and Coleman have been together every single day so far. And look, things change, but I think we're going to see a fair amount of Kadri and Mangiapane together.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see him. I'll be curious when we get to see them, because, of course, Nazem Kadri is going to be, for lack of a better term, limited through the first few sets of exhibition games, same as with Mangiapane. So I wouldn't imagine that we see that duo unveiled with a third, with a right winger, this week. I think that's something more for the latter three games. Maybe we get in one before the turn of the month to the new calendar. But once we see them, I'll be curious to see how those two go about their business together. They are going to be disturbers, and they're going to be disturbers physically. They are going to be disturbers in terms of producing offense. They are just going to be annoying if they are together. And that's got to, you know, bring a smile to the face of Daryl Sutter, Brad Treliving, and the other, you know, 18 guys that are in the lineup each and every night.
As this text from Lauren says at 960-960, tell us how you really feel about those two playing together, Patty. Have I mentioned that I think Mangiapane and Kadri would work well together? Have I brought that up at all? I haven't said.
Hockey BFFs?
I just think they were made to play together. I think that that could be a very, very effective duo. So the question becomes, if that does end up being the case, and it is Kadri and Mangiapane who play together this season for a good bulk of it, or who start the season together, who completes that trio? We talked a lot last week about Sonny Milano. I think he's in that mix. I think there's a chance that Dylan Dubé could be there at some point this season if things don't necessarily work 100% in trying to find the right fits in your top nine. Tyler Toffoli, I think, could be there if there isn't a fit with Lindholm and Huberdeau and they start to think about going in a different direction there. Jacob Pelche's name has been thrown around. But what about the guy who started there at practice on Monday? And that would be 2016 sixth-round pick Matthew Phillips, entering his fifth year of professional hockey. By all accounts, was one of, if not their best player, in the other half of the split squad game in Vancouver on Sunday night. That sure is interesting. And he is, I don't know if you see it on your social media. I know I see it on mine, and I see it all the time on our text line. Like, people want this guy to, A, get the opportunity, but I think it's more importantly, people just want this guy to succeed because you want the good story. Calgary kid, undersized, sixth-round pick, busted his ass, and eventually becomes an NHLer. How do you not cheer for a story like that? But is that story realistic in the fall of 2022?
It's an excellent question because he's got so many things working against him in terms of he's only played one NHL game in his career and it was kind of a throwaway game at the end of the season. He's undersized. Like, if he's 6 foot seven or 5 foot seven, pardon me, somebody's lying about the height stature there. And I couple that with, you know, he's probably around 155 pounds or so. And rightly or wrongly, mostly wrongly, ever since he's been drafted, he's been compared as a like right shot version of Johnny Gaudreau, which their games aren't similar at all. You're not going to see that. So there's like just so many different layers of things working against Matthew Phillips. So it's almost impossible not to root for this guy. Like you mentioned, a Calgary kid, homegrown kid. He's played, what, four years of pro hockey, all at the minor hockey league level. He's a feel-good story. You want to pull from. And you look, okay, is he going to be a guy that can develop into a player like Austin Zarnik, who we saw here, who just, you know, he cracked the bubble but couldn't quite keep himself as an NHL regular? Or is he going to be a guy that develops into a player like Jonathan Marchessault, who spent 4 years in the AHL out of junior, just like Matthew Phillips, before he got his first real audition, before he blossomed with the Florida Panthers?
How long
what
have you had that
see?
In the holster for as a comparable? I've never heard Jonathan Marchessault and Matthew
Six
Phillips
years
compared.
Since he was drafted,
I like that
Patrick.
A lot.
So there's so many things that we still need to see how it unfolds. And we had the chance to talk to Matthew Phillips today about, you know, how has your approach changed from year one, year two, year three, where now you're a veteran player. If he doesn't log any 80 NHL games, he's an unrestricted group six, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. This is kind of make or break for him in this organization, in my mind. And I'll be curious to see, because he's going to get a look. I'm certain he's going to get a look at this spot. The Flames are short one right winger as it stands right now in their top nine. No reason to not give him a little bit of an audition in some of these preseason games, and I think he's going to get it.
I have no problem with that. I mean, look, I think they're going to give players like Phillips, Milano, different role, but I think you throw Eakin into that conversation, Pelche. I think all of those, I don't know if Klapka is going to be in that conversation just yet, despite the fact that he is one of the players that people are buzzing about so far through rookie camp and into main camp. But I think Phillips, Pelche, Milano, Eakin are all going to be given. I'm trying to think of, am I missing anybody that is on the fringe right now as a guy that, that could end up pushing for one of the 13 or 14 forward spots?
The only guy I can think of is Adam Ruzicka, but I don't necessarily see him as a winger so much so as a center. And so he doesn't necessarily fit in that conversation to me. If we have the top line that we
I'm talking about this top nine role that is clearly open either on Kadri's wing or Backlund's wing or Lindholm's wing. However it ends, like right now, however the lines are put together, I think that there is one top nine forward missing, and you're trying to find who that guy could be. And I think Milano's in pole position to be able to get that, but that he doesn't have a contract, so that's not set in stone by any stretch of the imagination.
To me, it comes down to Milano, Phillips, or Pelletier, unless you're going outside of the organization to fill that need, which is still a reasonable thing to consider if you're the Calgary Flames. And all things considered, if you're tied, you know, Milano's tied with Phillips, tied with Pelletier, I think you go Milano just because of age and experience. But Matthew Phillips in that spot, I really want to see it in some preseason games and more than one preseason game just to see what that could be all about.
Let's hear from Matthew Phillips as he got the opportunity to skate all day at practice on this Monday with Nazem Kadri and Andrew Mangiapane. He was very good against the Canucks on Sunday night in Vancouver, and he enters his fifth year as a pro. Here's Matthew Phillips, who spoke on Monday afternoon.
Maybe just can we just get your kind of initial thought on the game last night? I'll see some of it you know, back here, but just about the pace and the feel of it from your perspective.
Yeah, I think it was a really good game. We had kind of a lot of different players that play different roles, and we talked about just kind of doing what you do well and do what got you here, and I think everyone kind of showed that. And I mean, there's a lot of penalties in that, but I think a lot of guys had good showings, so it was a good game.
It seems like that combination for the overtime winner, maybe you guys have had that in the summer skates a couple of times?
I don't know. It was a bit of a scramble, to be honest, and then Peltz made a nice play, and then yeah, Stoney's got a pretty decent one-timer, so I thought I'd get him the puck.
I think you're entering your fourth or fifth year pro. Does your approach change to these camps at all, having a bit of that experience but still knowing you're trying to get over the hump to become an NHLer?
Yeah, I think just a little more comfortable. I think just understanding how my game works at the pro level, and this is now, I think, my fifth year pro and main camps and knowing how it works and all that. So just kind of being confident, comfortable is big.
How excited were you to have an opportunity to practice with Kadri and Mangiapane today?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, obviously two elite players, and I mean, lines kind of change every day this time of year, but it was fun to play with them.
There's been a lot of talk about an opening in the top nine here. Do you feel like you're a candidate to fill that job?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing my best here to play my game and show what I can do, and a lot of my game is creating offense and opportunities, so that's just all I'm trying to do, really.
You mentioned that. How has your game grown over your pro career to the point where, you know, you're leading the AHL team in scoring?
I think in pro, possession of the puck is a big thing, and making the most of your puck touches, and I'm not the biggest guy, but learning how to find time and space and getting those opportunities that I can just do it what comes natural to me. So we've had good teams in Stockton for a while now, and I've been lucky to have good coaches and kind of keep my game growing.
Has it been tough to stay patient over the course while you wait for an opportunity at the NHL level?
Yeah, I mean, every player's path is different, and I think wherever I'm at, I'm just focused on that team and winning the game, next game up, and we had a really great year last year, and a lot of guys grew and had good seasons, so just kind of trying to keep that momentum going.
Do you look at guys that are smaller, like the Alex Debrinkas of the world, and think I could be that? Like the game's evolved where smaller players are getting more opportunity. Do you kind of see those guys and think that could be me at some point here?
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that this day and age, it's a little more suited for a small player than it might have been 20 years ago. And you're seeing a lot of guys in the league now that are maybe a little on the shorter end, but they can play hockey, they can make plays and put the puck in the net, so... I mean, I think my game's more than that. I try to bring energy and be on the right side of the puck a lot of the time, but it's definitely encouraging when you see smaller guys having success.
Whether you're in the AHL or the NHL, you're going to be playing in your hometown this season. How exciting is that?
Super exciting. I think having family here, regardless for the season, is awesome. Just getting to live at home and everything, it's pretty special opportunity, something I'm really excited about.
That is Matthew Phillips of the, well, the Calgary Flames organization. And look, this is a year that I think that there might actually be a small door open for that to happen. And I'm rooting for him. I think he is a fascinating, fascinating player because of all of what he has done, Vix. It's funny because I don't know if the Marchessault part made it to air or not. You were talking about just we were coming out. But what were you saying there about Jonathan Marchessault?
His last full AHL season, he had 67 points in 68 games. Matthew Phillips last year had 68 points in 65 games, including 31 goals.
The dude has already exceeded his draft positioning by about 2,000%. The fact that he has played one NHL game, he's already outkicked his draft coverage, right? Like, but that's not enough for him, obviously. It's not like, oh, well, I played one, so I'm done. I wonder. There is a top nine role open on this team. This guy has been a good soldier in the organization, and he continues to get better each and every year. I would not put him at the top of my power rankings to earn it. I do think Milano is probably the guy who's got the best opportunity to earn that spot. But Matthew Phillips is one thing that a lot of the guys that we're talking about don't have, and that is a right shot. Milano's a left shot. Pelche's a left shot. It's a right shot that's possessed by Matthew Phillips, and I think that does give him a little bit of an interesting wrinkle when having this conversation. Nonetheless, I'm curious to see how much he gets. I think he's going to play a lot of preseason games. I think they're going to give him the opportunity to play with decent players and to get some higher leverage time this year in the preseason to see if he can be one of those guys that keeps himself in the mix.
I think you really run out on that top line, that combination, Huberto, Lindholm, and Toffoli, and I really, really like the combination of Dubé, Backlund, and Coleman together. I think that can be an elite third line in the NHL.
Yep.
So you do have Mangiapane, Kadri, and insert blank. And if you're playing a top six role in the NHL, a lot of what you're going to be asked to do is produce. And if you look at Matthew Phillips' Hockey DB page, this is all this kid has ever done. Certainly, it took him maybe a year or two to get his footing in the AHL. And once he did, he became a point-per-game player and the leading scorer of the Stockton Heat. And if it should happen, then the go-to guy on a Calgary Wranglers roster. But if you're looking for somebody that can produce, why not give him an opportunity on that second line with two players that have a history of producing in the NHL?
At least in the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got some grit. Like, they can compensate more than enough for Matthew Phillips' size because he's not going to blow the doors off of anybody listed at 5'8 and 165 pounds, which is probably generous. But why not just toy with the experiment a little bit longer in preseason if you haven't made your decision up on who's going to fill that role?
A few texts, 960, 960. Lauren says Phillips was all John Garrett was talking about during the game in Vancouver last night.
It's no mistake that all of a sudden after that game last night, by all accounts, was the best player for the Calgary Flames, and suddenly he's thrust on a line with Mangiapane and Kadri.
Yep.
That's not by accident.
No coincidence there. The way Phillips plays and the skill is perfect for that line. And this says, I truly believe the guy isn't there for the top nine role. It's going to be a defenseman that's traded to bring somebody in to play on that line. You guys keep talking about Matthew Phillips because none of them are top six guys. They have to go out and get another top six guy. Maybe. Maybe Milano, Pelche, Phillips, anybody else doesn't fit the bill. But I think before you trade away a player, before you go down that road, you have to see if other things work first. And I don't think you need to make a trade or fill that quote-unquote void before the start of the regular season. I think you can let that play out even in the regular season, let that develop. I think you have to see if Milano pans out, and I think you have to see if your internal options pan out, and more than just through the preseason and training camp, see what happens once pucks start flying for real, and then you kind of make that decision. Similar to what they did last year when they acquired Toffoli and then acquired Yarncroak. Let it play out on the ice. I don't think you need to do that in the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely. I think you can do it right up to the NHL trade deadline and see what you have. I don't think the Calgary Flames are in jeopardy of missing the playoffs because they can't find somebody to play on the second line right wing. So you have a lot of runway to test out a lot of different options here. And I think as an organization, that's what you're going to see. You're going to probably, even if you find someone that might work, you're still going to see a rotating cast to see if you can find somebody that might work better. And there's certainly a lot of different options the Calgary Flames can look at. To me, Phillips is probably the exciting one to tinker with right now because of, you know, he's from Calgary. He's been in the organization for so long. So there's so many reasons to root for him. But we're going to see a lot of options come through here, and it'll just be one of those, give it a look. And we've got until March to figure it out if you're the Calgary Flames organization.
This is hour two of Flames Talk. You can get Flames Talk live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts. Go hit subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or Amazon.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So it's been a rough couple of years for 2017 first-round pick Yusuf Alamaki. Remember when he jumped into the league to start the 18-19 season and he made the team out of camp that year and was a real revelation before he sustained a high ankle sprain, and that kind of derailed things for the rest of that NHL regular season. He rehabbed the high ankle sprain and then went to Stockton, played really well in the American League. And then lo and behold, here they are in the middle of a first-round playoff series against the Colorado Avalanche, and they needed a little bit of boost on the blue line. Who do they recall from Stockton? None other than Yusuf Alamaki, and he came right into a playoff series and made a difference. He was one of their best players in that playoff series. Since then, It's kind of gone off the rails a little bit. This is hour two of Flames Talk with Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Sustained a knee injury in the summer of 2019, and really, since that time, it's been a rough go. The 19-20 season had some ups and downs, and he was kind of in and out of the lineup. He was getting some high depth chart time and then low depth chart time, and the coaching change happens. It just there's been a lot of ups and downs with injuries. I guess he missed the entire 1920 season. Yep. So I was talking about the 2021 season. Missed the entire 1920 season. Then got to go play in Finland. Comes in for the 2021 shortened season. The coaching change happens. A lot of refinement that he needed to do in his game under Daryl Sutter. Last year, rough go. Spent more of his time in the American League than he would have liked. So he's come to camp this year, and he's kind of changed his mindset a little bit. And everybody that I've talked to has told me about how this guy is in the best shape of his life. He threw himself into off-season training in Finland and then came back to Calgary much, much earlier, a month before the start of training camp, to get himself acclimated. And now here he is trying to crack the roster and have a big bounce back after two really difficult years. Had a chance to catch up with Yuso after practice on this Monday, after his first preseason game. He played Sunday night in Vancouver. Here's my chat with 2017 first-round pick Yusuf Alamaki, looking for a bounce-back year with the Flames.
A lot of people have kind of said that, you know, you really threw yourself even more into off-season training and conditioning. Just how would you look back at your summer in Finland and here in terms of your conditioning and the work you put in?
It was a good summer. You know, I went back home right after the games ended for about 2 months, and I was here about a month before camp started, so just kind of wanted to come in early and skate a little bit more and just feel better on the ice before camp starts. And you know, I think everything kind of went as planned. I feel really good. I lost a bunch of weight and stuff too, which I kind of wanted to try if that helps and makes me feel better, and so far I feel good on the ice, so I think it's been all good.
So when you say you've lost a little bit of weight, how do you feel that impacts you once you're on the ice? What have been the noticeable parts of that?
Probably just feel like a little bit like quicker and a little more energized. I haven't been this light like in years. I don't even remember last time I was, you know, around do 200 at 205.
Yeah.
So I just kind of thought of it in the summer. I'm like, well, might as well try. Like, probably can't hurt. So yeah, I think just kind of like feel a little bit quicker, obviously, because you don't have as much weight on to carry. And yeah, just kind of energy levels. I mean, first preseason game, I always remember it kind of feels tough, but this year wasn't too bad, and played a lot of minutes too, so I think it's a good sign.
As a high level athlete, like, you know, on the outside, when you talk about losing weight, you know, there's different ways that you can go about it. But as a guy who's already in, you know, top notch shape, what goes into it? Is it diet? Is it just changing your training regimen? How do you go about taking a little bit off?
Well, I think it's mostly diet for me. I mean, you won't really change, like, how you train, in a sense of, like, I think a little bit came into it with skating a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
especially at the end, you know, you skate a little more, you do a little more high intensity stuff, so you obviously burn more, and it's, you know, comes into picture with that. But I think for me, it's just kind of a diet thing, you know. It's just got down maybe some ice cream in the summer, and that's about it. It's honestly pretty, like, easy to do, and it's not something that you gotta, like, really think of and make a life big of a change. It's just some small things, and it just kind of all clicks together.
So coming back as early as you did to Calgary and getting those skates in with the vets and being here for a month, why was that important, and how has it helped you, do you think, early on?
Well, I think it's just everything about making the team and proving that I'm an NHL player, and just kind of wanting to do everything towards that. You know, being with the guys, with, you know, the trainers, just the round here, getting adjusted to everything. You know, I think for me, the biggest thing was skating. I'm not a huge fan of skating every day throughout the summer.
Yeah.
So now to do that for a little bit longer time, is probably the biggest thing that's helped to feel better on the ice right away when camp starts. And yeah, I think just kind of being around, being more comfortable here, I think it's just kind of all those small things combined together is kind of the mindset and the idea why I wanted to do it.
What's overall mindset? I know the last 2 years have had their ups and downs, and it's been difficult, I think, at times for you. Does it feel like this year, where things are almost back to normal and it's a brand new camp and you're kind of, a lot of that stuff is behind you, do you almost feel like it could be a fresh slate this year for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it to a lot of people, but I haven't felt this good physically and mentally in a long time. I think those, you know, a couple past years, not to kind of look too back into them, but it was a lot, you know, going all the way back to that injury and then COVID and playing all over the place. And, you know, last year was definitely not what I expected or wanted, and going through that. And, like, there's just been a lot, and it's been mostly, like, on the mental side, like, it's been a lot, and it's, some of the things have been hard to handle, and there's been a lot of learning to do in that sense. And as of now, I'm really proud of the growth that's happened and the change in myself, which is good for not only your hockey career, but for you as a person. And yeah, and then you add in the physical side, feeling good in that sense, and then, like, the confidence part of it. Like, now I worked on that part of the game a lot too during the summer, and I finally feel confident again after a long time, and that's a good feeling, and that's what I want to keep thriving, and it's something that I've learned that you gotta work on it yourself, and you got, like, your confidence has to come from within. So that's something that I've learned again, and I just want to keep being on the same path and just move forward.
And, you know, you're never going to have a year or a stretch where there's no adversity, right? It has to be nice to know that if that hits again, you're kind of better equipped to handle it, right?
Well, now it's at that point that there's not much that can, you know, happen that is going to really faze me anymore. I kind of feel like everything's already happened. So to face him again, feel pretty good about it.
How did you feel in the first preseason game? I know you felt like it wasn't as much of a grind. How did you feel overall in terms of you and Michael out there?
Pretty good. I mean, first preseason game, you know, there's some things that, you know, as a team, it's always a little bit sloppy both sides, and definitely things like timing, like gaps and battles. Those are things that are not going to be perfect in first game, but overall I think pretty good. Like the puck play and got some chances. I think that's something that's going to come too when you get more used to actually getting the puck in the ozone, having the chance to score, and then you're actually able to score. But I think for a first preseason game, felt pretty good. You know, like I said earlier, played a lot of minutes, felt fine with that, and got a win, so that's a good thing too.
And there are spots open at this camp on the blue line. Like, it feels like there is one or two spots to play for. Just how much does that energize you as you move through this year?
Well, that's the whole goal. That's why I'm doing it all. So that's just the mindset. Got to be that. You know, there's a spot for me to take, and that's what I'm looking to do.
That is Juuso Välimäki. Had a chance to chat with him after practice on Monday. I'm rooting for the guy. I really am. I've been a big fan since the first day I had a chance to chat with him following the 2017 draft. It seems like he's really put a lot of work into approaching this year's camp. All reports I've gotten before speaking to him were as such. Best shape of his life. He came in, he killed it in conditioning, killed it in the offseason. He's lighter, he looks faster, all that type of stuff. And even you hear him talk there about the mental side of it. You know, it feels like he's approaching this camp a little bit differently. And I think he is in the mix to fight for a spot, because I do think there are spots open on this blue line right now with Oliver Shillington's absence adding to that. And there's a real opportunity, whether it's him or some of the other blue liners that we've talked about, the opportunity is there and the approach is different. At the very least, I think there's a chance that Juuso can make this a real bounce back year for himself.
Yeah, right now with Oliver Shillington out, I see two spots open on the blue line, your number six and your number seven, and the candidates are Nicholas Meloche, who's paired with Zadorov in camp, Juuso Välimäki, who's paired with Stone, Michael Stone, who of course is paired with Juuso Välimäki, and Connor Mackey, who we've seen at times alongside Mackenzie Weegar. I think to start the season, we're going to see two of those four guys on this NHL roster, and you're right, you can't help but feel a little bit for Juuso Välimäki, who missed 28 games in the 2018-19 season with the lower body injury, the high ankle sprain, as you said. Started the 2019-20 season with an ACL injury. Of course, missed the 2020-2021 season with an ACL injury. He's only played 156 regular season games and 12 playoff games since the start of 2018. That's 4 years. Like, that's, and we're talking about a player that's now 23. So you go back 4 years. We're talking about a guy who's lost that much development time between his 19-year-old season and his 23-year-old season. That is not good. So you can hear it in that conversation you had with him about how it's mentally affected him too. Slap COVID on top of that. It's hard not to root for him, and now he's coming in, by all accounts, best shape of his life, completely over the injuries that he's had, the injury history that he's had, specifically with his knee and the lower body injuries. He's going to be one of these guys that's going to be vying for at least to start the season with the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, I look, I don't know what that third pairing is going to end up looking like, and you know, there's still a measure of you got to go prove it on the ice. You got to go make it happen once you get those opportunities preseason. And I think those four players that you just mentioned, Juuso, Connor Mackey, Michael Stone, and Nick Meloche, those are going to, I think all four of those guys are going to get a significant amount of preseason action. Kind of in the – if they were all to play in the 4-6 game range, would not surprise me, because we don't know when Oliver's going to rejoin the team. We don't, and he deserves all the time and privacy in the world as he deals with his issue in his family and personal life, and we wish him all the best. So if they're operating like this is an indefinite absence for him, whenever he comes back, he's going to need some time to get up to speed too. So there are significant stretches here where they're going to need those four guys or a combination of two of those four guys to fill out two spots. And so I thought Mackey looked really good in the game against Vancouver here at the Dome. I did not see enough to be able to give you a real opportunity as to how Stone or Milosh or Valimaki looked in the game against Vancouver, because we were dialed in on the game here at the Dome. But I've liked all three of those guys at different times in the first 3 or 4 days of camp and in that scrimmage on Saturday. So that to me is the one area where there's the hottest. We talked a lot about the top nine forward spot. There's a spot open there, we think, but there's maybe a little bit more open than maybe we expected on the blue line going into this year's camp.
It wouldn't surprise me if we see a situation where there's no defined number six and number seven, and we see one player get a run, we see the next player get a run. The thing that's interesting to me among these four defensemen, and that's assuming if Michael Stone is in fact one of the two guys that stays in the NHL roster, he needs an NHL contract. He's in camp on a PTO right now. But say perhaps he's one of the two guys identified to hold down that spot to start. All four of those guys that are in competition right now require waivers to get down to the Wranglers in the American Hockey League. So this battle is, to me, is one that's, you're not only fighting for your NHL life, but in theory, you could be fighting to stay in the Calgary organization as well. We're going to see about 120 players hit waivers right before the start of the regular season. And there does stand a chance where you're going to see a guy or two sneak through, but there's also the opportunity where a guy doesn't. And if you're Juuso Välimäki, if you're one of the other 31 organizations, I could see the opportunity. If you're in Anaheim, if you're Buffalo, if you're in Arizona, and you want to give Juuso Välimäki more runway to develop and recover and see what he truly is, then there's a chance that if Välimäki isn't one of these two guys, he might not be with the organization past October. So I'm very curious to see the splits between these four defensemen as it pertains to the remaining preseason games, and I'm curious to see what these four players in particular do with that opportunity.
I've got an idea that we don't have time for on this show, so maybe we'll save it for Tuesday or Wednesday. But I've got an idea as to how Michael Stone might fit in the entire conversation, too, even if he's not one of those two guys. We can get to that a little bit later on this week. Thank you, buddy. Good to work with you again. Aaron Vickers from Daily Hive is with us all week long on Twitter at AA Vickers. We've got three games to talk about this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll probably have some training camp decisions in there and more evolution in all these conversations. We'll have lots to talk about over the next few days.
Hit like and subscribe.
Look at that. You're learning on the fly. Now,
I'm going to be the one with the Rolex soon.
Do you know where to get the podcasts?
Wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Apple, Spotify.
Amazon.
Google.
Not bad. We'll get that down. We'll make that roll off the tongue by the end of the week. That'll wrap up hour two of Flames Talk. Thanks to Aaron Howell, our outstanding producer. Thanks to Aaron Vickers from Daily Hive. My name is Pat Steinberg. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Monday. And yes, you can get Flames Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Go hit subscribe.